series. That's good. I don't really care if you do or not. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving this series. This series has made me come alive as a believer more than you can realize. So many times when I study and I research and I prepare for these sermons, I think, I've been wasting my years not teaching this stuff. I almost want to just become an end times preacher and just preach on Revelation all the time. Is that okay? Okay, it's a bit quiet in this Presbyterian church here today. Maybe not. But I just think we need to unlock the key of Revelation, don't we? Amen. So many Christians are scared about the book of Revelation. They don't understand it. They get confused. And hey, I'll be the first to admit, there's all these different views on Revelation, and I'm the only one that's got it right, okay? I'm just telling you. Of course, I'm joking. I don't believe anyone has got it. And I believe a lot of the keys to Revelation will only be unlocked in the last of the last days, which could be now. How many of you know Jesus could be returning any day now? We could be in the last of the last days. We could be the church that gets to finally unlock these mysteries around the world in 2017 and 2018. This could be our time to finally get the real revelation of Revelation and be ready before the return of the Lord. Amen? I love what we sang before. Your praise will ever be on my lips. And then it says, you will have your bride. This is what Revelation is. It's a love story of a father looking for a bride for his son. And that's you. He's making us dressed in white. He's purifying us. He's making the bride beautiful before his return. We are that bride, church. Anybody excited about that? Three people, that's wonderful. Okay. So we're going through the series Apocalypsis. If you missed it, you can listen in on the podcast and check it out. Pastor Dave did a great job last week, I heard. Thank you so much, Pastor Dave. Great man of God. I'm going to unlock him again in a couple of weeks. I'll give him another one in a couple of weeks after Christmas. He's fired up too. We're going to try and smash this series by the middle of January, okay? So if you are sick of Revelation, don't come back till then. But if you... Actually, no, come back, because you shouldn't be sick of Revelation. You should be feeding on God's Word, even on the difficult bits, amen? So today, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. The Antichrist. Oh, this is exciting stuff. This is better than Star Wars, I tell you. In this day and age, Bible prophecy continues to fascinate, never more than in troubled times of war and natural disasters. Just look at the focus on Jerusalem. Who's been praying for Jerusalem? Can you believe Donald Trump has suggested to move the embassy to the and make Jerusalem the capital of Israel? Can you believe that? President after president after president of the US have promised it, but none of them have come through with the goods. And now it's time for the final Trump to make the announcement, eh? That's a play on words there. You see what I did there? Yeah. He mightn't be the final Trump, but I don't know. He could be. You never know. But I also believe that we need to watch what's happening in Jerusalem. It's fascinating that 59 Arab nations have now said they want the Palestinian capital to be in East Jerusalem, and they're condemning what America has said. Surprise, surprise. But how many of you know, you read the Bible, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel, amen? Donald Trump's just obeying what God's word says. And there's a petition before the Australian Parliament that we will move our embassy there, which Malcolm Turnbull has currently said no to, and hasn't yet. But our parliament's been making lots of crazy decisions lately, haven't they? Let's pray for our leaders in Australia, amen? Because how many of you know God blesses those who bless Israel? We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for our leaders that we will honour Jerusalem as the capital in our nation. There's lots of petitions online if you want to sign one of those. And contact your local MP. Tell them how important you think it is. Why should we be caring about this? I had a discussion with a mate this week who says, oh, why do you care so much about Israel? Why do you care so much about all that? Oh, it's no big deal. I'm like, this is prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes in God's book, people. We need to understand the times like the sons of Issachar, amen? We need to be wise to what's happening in the Middle East. Many people are confused by the book of Revelation, but we need to get into it. Okay, let's look at verse 1. chapter 13, verse 1. Now, I'll just warn you, this is an apocalyptic book, and there's lots of full-on stuff. There's no kids here. They're all out at kids' ministry. That's good, okay? Some of these images and pictures in here are quite mind-blowing. And you see books like Daniel, which is another apocalyptic book. You see these writings in there, and sometimes they jump forward in the future. Sometimes they go back. Sometimes they, it's very hard to have an accurate timeline of things, and you'll see it jumps around a little bit, but it's prophetic, and it's a little bit. I love the fact that I don't understand every little detail of the Bible, because it shows me how amazing God is. Amen. If we could understand every single little detail in the Bible, we'd be God, wouldn't we? Because God is amazing. God moves in mysterious ways. Amen. So this stuff blows my mind when I read through it. I encourage you to just try and follow along. Verse 1, then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshipped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshipped the beast. Who is as great as the beast, they exclaimed. Who is able to fight against him? Then the beast allowed to speak great blasphemies against God. And he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling. That is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So this passage here is a description of the Antichrist. These descriptions are also used in the book of Daniel, confirming the inerrancy of the scripture in the book of Revelation. The dragon that spoke of is always the devil. The Antichrist is the son of Satan. It's interesting that you've got God the Father and God the Son, and you've got the devil and his son, the Antichrist. And then you also have the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, and then you also have the false prophet. So you have an unholy Trinity and you have a holy Trinity. How do you know the devil always tries to counterfeit what God does? He can't create like God has created, but he can counterfeit. He can copy. He can take, just like the gift of prophecy, which is a pure gift from God, he can turn it into clairvoyancy or fortune-telling, all this stuff, this rubbish, which is all about making money. It's using the same godly pure gift, but distorting it because the devil's a thief. He steals what is God's and he copies it and he's a counterfeit. Amen? So let's always be aware that the devil's a counterfeiter. So this passage, a lot of these notes come from Tony Keyes, who's a great man of God who wrote a book called I Was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Many of us saw a conference of him recently. I've also taken a lot of stuff from Pastor Greg Laurie and some stuff of my own as well. that's a couple of the key guys there that I'm studying this series with. So the passage opens with Satan having been foiled in his attempts to destroy the woman Israel, now calling on the aid of his first henchman, the Antichrist. So we see in this first verse, the Antichrist is rising up out of the evilness of all humanity, having complete dominion and authority over all who oppose God. So we're in the middle of the book of Revelation. For those who haven't been a part of this series, it started out with the Apostle John receiving the vision, then getting the word for the 7 churches, and then we see the rapture of the church. We believe that those that are born again will be caught up with the Lord, and then there'll be the 7 years of tribulation. And we're right in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation here. And now I understand that there are many other biblical views on this as well. I'm not saying I've got it 100% right. This is where I'm sitting right now. And there's a lot of good Bible teachers that also believe what I'm teaching. But research it for yourself. Feed yourself on God's Word. Study it for yourself. But this is where we're at. John continues to describe the beast. This is fascinating. The body. I think we actually have a photo of that, Anthony, that you had at the start of the slide. Do you want to pop that up? Describes the beast as having the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, who receives its power, throne, and authority from the Satan of dragon. Isn't that a freaky looking picture, hey? That's a picture. And we've got to remember that when the Apostle John received this vision, he was living in the first century. So we're trying to read this through the lens of our time that we live in 2017. Can you believe it's nearly 2018? My goodness. But we've got to remember that he was living in a different time to us. But yeah, this is how he describes it. The description of John's has a striking resemblance to Daniel's vision in Daniel 7. So I encourage you, if you're studying the book of Revelation, make sure you study the book of Daniel as well. There's lots of similar apocalyptic writings that you'll read in the book of Daniel as well. Daniel and John are not describing kingdoms by symbols, but they're describing the demonic forces that operate through them and control them. How many know we're in a spiritual battle? The Bible warns us when we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And God has given us authority over the enemy. Amen? So even though we hear about all this stuff, it's an understanding that Christ is still sovereign. Okay, so here's what a lot of Bible scholars say about the Antichrist. He will lead a one-world government. Now, a lot of these things that we're talking about, if you study the signs of the times we're in, there's lots of this already happening. You look at the League of Nations that was started by Woodrow Wilson, there's a bit of history for you, which is now the United Nations. And you look at the very anti-Israel bias of the United Nations. Kind of interesting to see whose side they might be on. You have a look at some of the evil leaders that are around the world that are trying to take up. A lot of them already have an Antichrist spirit. Now, some of them might be the Antichrist. He may be alive today. I doubt he's here in the church today, but you never know. But the Antichrist spirit has always been around and is around now, but there will be one great Antichrist. And the Bible says that the world is in birth pains until the coming of the Lord. And it's like when the woman gives birth, there's lots and lots and lots of faster and stronger. I've never felt this myself, although I did get a very sore hand when Carol gave birth. She squeezed my hand a lot. It really hurt. But apparently with labor pains, they get a lot worse and worse and worse until the actual delivery. That's what's happening to the world. A lot worse and worse. So we're seeing things like the one world government, things like the one world economy. How many of you know we'll be in a cashless society one day? Who uses cash still? Who only uses credit cards these days? Yep. Wouldn't it be easier just to have it on your hand or your forehead one day, don't you think? Don't you think the world's going to start saying that more and more? You know, there's a company in America where you can get microchipped and you can get your lunch, you can get scanned. You don't get your pay in that company until you scan your microchip. The technology is already available today. We are in the last of the last days where there could be, in our lifetime, the one world government, the one world economy, and a one world empire. The Antichrist will lead this. He's empowered by Satan himself. He will be a charismatic, good-looking leader. You've heard the saying, the devil wears Prada. The Antichrist may be alive today, but the Antichrist spirit is already at work among the world. Look at the anti-Christian bias we're already seeing. Of course, in all the Muslim Islamic nations, there's a massive anti-Christian bias, but now we're seeing it in the West. Just think about how it's changed in Australia in the last 10 years. It used to be, you can be a Christian, I'll be a non-Christian, and we can agree to disagree. Now it's, your Christian beliefs are offensive to me. You should be shut down. You shouldn't talk. You should follow our laws. Otherwise, we will take away your charity status and you won't. We will persecute you. You could even get locked up one day for proclaiming the truth about what you believe about marriage, for example. How many of you know there is an anti-Christian bias that we're already seeing in our nation? We're seeing it in America. We're seeing it in the UK and Ireland. We've seen it all around the world. Who's noticed in the last 10 years the change that we've seen? This is a sign of the last days that we're in. This is the Antichrist spirit. Another way to say Antichrist is instead of Christ, by the way. So the Antichrist will come as a peacemaker with brilliant political moves. He'll bring world peace. He'll even help the Jews rebuild their temple. He'll have his side, at his side he'll have the false prophet, and there'll be the unholy trinity, the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. A new religion will be created that people all over the world will embrace, which will be a melting pot of all the religions. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's the way the devil works. A little bit of all the truth of all the religions. But it's a lie from the enemy, amen? We've got to make sure we know the counterfeit. You know, when they teach bank tellers how to tell when there's a counterfeit, what they do is when they're training them, they give them, you know, $100 bills, for example, and they'll slip in one counterfeit in there. And they'll go, hang on, this counterfeit. And they're trained to discern what is the counterfeit so that when it comes in real life, they know what it is. Same for us as believers. This is a warning to us about the counterfeit that will come. Be armed, be ready, be prepared when these counterfeits start coming. And they've already started coming in the nations. Some people will say that we all worship the same God. There's a melting pot of all religions, but here in this church, we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen? We believe in God, the Father of Jesus Christ, amen? We teach God's Word, and Jesus is the Messiah. And you know what? Some of you are hearing me talk about all this and starting to freak out and go, oh my goodness, Pastor Matt's lost it. He's one of those end times nutbag preachers now. I'm here to warn you today. I'm just teaching God's Word here. I'm just teaching what the book of Revelation says. And I'm here to tell you, things aren't falling apart. Things are coming together. Don't say, look what the world's coming to. Say, look who's come to the world, amen? Jesus is alive today, and he has a plan for his church. Things are going to get worse out in the world, but that's an opportunity for us to shine brighter for Jesus, amen? I'm getting excited. I'm preaching myself happy today. I'm getting excited. Just as I was preparing this yesterday, and this isn't in the notes, Anthony, the Lord gave me, you want to write this down? I encourage you to take notes, guys, because we're going to go through a lot of scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-10. I just felt the Lord last night download this to me, so it's not in the notes yet, but I just want to read it out to you. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or word of mouth, by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. How many of you know they're talking about the Antichrist here? He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This is Paul telling the church at Thessalonica. He says, don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So the Apostle Paul is warning, don't be deceived. Don't believe that that's already happened. He said, one day it'll come. One day the man of lawlessness will be revealed. The Antichrist will be revealed. So be watching. Now I'm believing and hoping that we'll be raptured before he turns up. But I've said this before and I want to warn you today, some of you may be left behind in this time. There's actually videos on YouTube, what to do if you miss the rapture. What to do if you're left behind. And it's basically hold on to Jesus for dear life. Because I'm telling you, this stuff freaks me out. When this 7 years of tribulation happens on this planet, I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go through this stuff. When the church has been raptured, imagine the evil that will be released on this earth. We are in an age of grace right now. Let's make the most of this time. Let's tell all our friends the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get right with God now. But the reality is, in every church, some will be left behind. I'm always hoping that it's the first few rows that get raptured and the back ones go. Just saying. That's why I'm always up the front. Sorry, I love you guys up the back there, but just saying. I don't know. What about the sound guy? Oh, no, he's way up the back. You've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, amen? You've got to make sure you're right with God. You won't get saved on your spouse's faith. You won't get saved on your parents' faith. You won't get saved on your pastor's faith. It's between you and Jesus whether you get saved or not. And if you're left behind, there's a roadmap of what's going to happen, and we're right in the middle of it right now. Let's look at this passage in 1 John 2, verse 18. You know, since I've been preaching Revelation, every book of the Bible I turn to, there's something about the return of the Lord or the Antichrist. Or it's amazing how when you start looking at the Scriptures through this lens, things pop up. The Holy Spirit shows you stuff, amen? So here's another one I just got to share with you. You know, Jeremiah says, the Word of God is burning in my heart. If I don't let it out, I'll die, basically, you know? This is how this series is for me, guys. This is burning in my heart. Is it burning in yours too? You know when Jesus appeared to the two disciples as they walked on the road, on the Emmaus road? They didn't realize it was Jesus at first when he started talking about all the things that had happened. And then after he'd gone, they said, didn't the Word of God burn in our hearts as he spoke to us? Guys, this is how we should be receiving God's Word. This should be burning in your heart today, amen? Everyone just stand up for a second. I just want to make sure you guys don't fall asleep during this. I know there's some heavy, meaty teaching in here, I know. But I just want you to put your hands up and say, Jesus, come and burn in my heart today. I want to receive your word. I want to be ready for your return. In Jesus' name, come, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, just come and fill us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive your word today. Whew. Okay, you can be seated, everyone, now. Just want to make sure you guys don't become the first church of the chosen frozen, all right? We've got to make sure that we are alive when we receive the word, amen? Okay, listen to this. 1 John 2, 18 to 26. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us but did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Everyone say anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. There's a warning to every one of us that people will try and lead us astray with antichrist spirits in these last days. And we've got to hold firm on the true doctrines of the church. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? I've I've had the privilege of ministering to many people who are ex-cult members. I like to consider myself a bit of a cult buster. Whenever I come across anyone in a cult and I talk to them, I go, ah, because I've studied the Jehovah's Witnesses, I've studied the Mormons, I've studied all these different sects of the church and different cults and, Brisbane Christian Fellowship, this big one at Sanford. It's so sad that these people, they have a lot of the truth and a little bit of lies, and they've just twisted the scripture. That's an antichrist spirit that takes away from the truth of God's word. We've got to be careful not to be deceived in these last days by the lies of these charismatic leaders, these inspiring leaders that might be great orators. They might say lots of great things that make your ears itch, that gets you excited, make you feel good. They'll have a lot of truth, but a bit of lies mixed in. Be aware of the antichrist spirit in these last days. Because I do believe people can lose their salvation. I do believe that once you're born again, it's a choice, it's a decision. You receive God's Holy Spirit, but then you can stray away from the Father. You can stray away from the truth of God's word. You can demons can get a hold of you and deceive you. You can listen to doctrines of demons and deceive you in these last days. And there's a warning that there'll be a great falling away in the last days. This preacher I heard the other day that I was talking about that said that he believes many of the large movements around the world today have Ichabod across their name. The glory of God has left. He gave this warning and he said, you know what? It sounds good at first, but then when you get into it, there's no substance, or it's all about some fake doctrine or doctrine of demons. We need to be careful not to be deceived in these last days. And I'm not naming anyone, I'm not pointing any particular ministry. Publicly, I always honor Christian ministers and ministries, and I'll never run anyone down publicly, because we shouldn't waste our fire on friendly fire, amen? We should fire against the devil. It's actually one of the good quotes I wrote down from Star Wars in my theological studies last night. In Star Wars, listen to this quote. There's this girl that was nearly killed in this fire battle with the stormtroopers and all this. This isn't a spoiler. And she says this, that's how we're going to win. Not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love. We've got to get on with the job saving what we love, amen. Saving the lost. We've got to get on with the job caring for the poor, amen. We've got to get on the job growing and learning and teaching God's word, amen. Let's not, you know, the Bible, the book of Revelation isn't the book of the Antichrist. It's the book of Jesus Christ, amen. And even though today I am warning you about the Antichrist, it's not all about the Antichrist. It's about Christ, amen. Okay, let's get back into it. Let's get back into it. All right. Okay, we're up to verse 10. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Okay, the beast out of the earth. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all authority over the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. So the false prophet not only uses the power of speech to persuade the people to worship the Antichrist, but he employs wonders and miracles, of which the most common is causing fire to fall from the heavens. Another counterfeit of what we saw Elijah do. With the frequent use of such a wonder as causing fire to fall from heaven and other miracles, the false prophet not only persuades humanity to worship the Antichrist, but also to make a statue of the Antichrist and to worship the Antichrist's image. The great miracle the false prophet performs is that he causes breath to come into the image. In the Greek, the word breath is the word pneuma, which is commonly translated as spirit. The spirit enters the Antichrist image, and the image begins to speak. Just as an evil spirit takes possession of a person and speaks out its own message, so shall the demonic spirit take possession of the statue of the Antichrist. This is real stuff, isn't it? You think Star Wars and X-Files and, you know, all these Avengers movies, you think all the effects that you see in all these modern movies of today, you think that's amazing. This is real stuff. And this is going to happen on our earth one day. Verse 16, it says, he required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of beast, for it is the number of the man. His number is 666. So for all those who worship the Antichrist, the false prophet issues a decree for everyone to receive the mark, either on their right hand or their forehead. Without this mark, it's practically impossible to buy or sell anything. Those not able to produce the mark are reported, apprehended, and put to death. Not one part of society will be excluded from this edict. Status means nothing. John tells us that great and small, free and slave, rich and poor, all are required to have the mark of the beast. John tells us that the number of the beast is 666, and that wisdom and understanding comes by trying to reveal the meaning of the number. The only clue we're given is the number of man. There's an eminent Bible teacher named Henry Morris who did some research on this. His research found that one in every 10,000 people's names adds up to 666 in the Greek numerical system, which means that there are about 60,000 people in the world today that could be the Antichrist. So you know what? There's lots of people that have all this speculation about the Antichrist and 666. The reality is, it's very difficult to work out who it is until it's revealed at this time. There's lots of speculations about 666. And think about the story of the sword in Excalibur, you know, which was sealed in the great stone, waiting for the right heir to claim it. Many came and tested their strength and wisdom to try and pull out that sword. But it wasn't until the rightful owner of the heir of England put his hand on it, King Arthur, and pulled out the sword, Excalibur. Then it was revealed that he was the true one. I personally believe that this 666 and the Antichrist won't be revealed until this time. So for us now trying to work it out, it's all numbers and it's all speculation. So don't try to, you know, some people have said it's this guy, Henry Kissinger. Some people said it was Obama. Some people said it was Trump. Some people said it's Putin. You know, there's all these people with different theories. I personally believe it won't be revealed until this time in the tribulation, and we'll be raptured by then. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't have to worry about it. Okay, so, but it's interesting to hear all this talk about the mark of the beast, that society is preparing for this one day. We have the technology. We have the means. The temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem one day. All these things will happen. And in our lifetime, it could very well happen, which is an exciting time we live in. Okay, let's look at Revelation 14. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Actually, before we get into that, you want to hear a quick joke? Just to wake you up again. I found this one. I thought you liked this one. Just want to make sure. No, it's not here. Okay, good. A Bible study was discussing the unforeseen possibility of sudden death. The leader of the discussion said, "We will all die one day. Research shows that 10 out of 10 people die. And none of us really know when. But if we did know, we'd all do a better job preparing ourselves for that inevitable event." Everyone shook their heads in agreement with this comment. And then the Bible study leader asked this question. What would you do if you knew you only had 4 weeks of life remaining before death and then came the great judgment day? What would you do? One guy said, I'd go out into the community and minister the gospel to everyone I could and make sure souls were saved. Who could say amen to that? That's what I'd be doing. Very good, said the group leader. One lady spoke up and said, I dedicate all my remaining time to serving God, my family, my church, and my fellow man with a greater conviction. That's wonderful, said the Bible study leader. But one gentleman in the back sat there pensive, thinking. He spoke up loudly and he said, I'd go to my mother-in-law's for the first for those 4 weeks. Everyone was puzzled and said, why would you do that? He said, well, it would make it, because that would make it the longest 4 weeks of my entire life. Carol's not here? No, good. Okay, we'll continue. I love my mother-in-law, by the way, and I would love being there. Anyway, let's move on. The good thing is, imagine if you knew it was 4 weeks. No one knows the day or the hour before Jesus returns. Okay, we know that. But imagine if it was 4 weeks. Imagine end of January. Jesus came back. How would you spend your Christmas? How would you spend your New Year's? What would you be doing online over the next month? What would you say to your relatives? What would you say to that uncle that you just can't stand at Christmas? If you knew you had 4 weeks left, if you knew he had 4 weeks left, what would you say to that uncle this Christmas? Pull your head in. Well, that could be a good start there, Bo. Just let the Holy Spirit lead you with that, brother. Make the most of every day, guys. This could be the day. Jesus could come back today. This could be my last sermon ever. Someone said, hallelujah, praise God. Seriously, live each day like it's your last, guys. One day we'll all stand before the judgment. And we'll be rewarded for the good deeds we did. We're not saved by our good deeds, but we're saved to do good deeds, amen? We'll be rewarded for our works. Okay, let's get on to chapter 14. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 that had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. Or a little bit like our worship team here. The great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living creatures and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They've kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. I just love that. Following the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. Following the Lamb wherever he goes. We sing that song, don't we? Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. God, what you pray, I pray. Wherever the Lamb goes, they follow him. Who wants to live like that? It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. They've been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. Okay, so the Lamb, Christ, stands in the midst of the 144,000 as the glorious victor who on behalf of all believers was slain for our sins to redeem us from the power of sin and death. So the 144,000 has been destroyed by the forces of the unholy Trinity, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They are identified as the same 144,000 that we heard about in chapter 7 because they have the Father's name written on their foreheads. The verse also shows they belong to the Father and the Son and Jesus Christ. John sees something more glorious than the protection of the 144,000. He sees the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, standing in the midst of the mount. Christ joins them, as shown here in a prophetic vision, as the ultimate triumph for the Lamb. And he marks the beginning of his millennial reign upon earth with his followers. Let's go to verse 6. And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted. Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then another, let me just pause there for a moment. You know, there's all these Christians that don't believe in creation. They believe in evolution. How many scriptures are there that talk about creation? all the way through the Bible. In the book of Revelation, it's all through Genesis, of course. Jesus talks about it all the time. How can you deny that God is the creator of everything? Amen? It's another example where the devil has come into our education system and sold the lie of evolution to our kids, and they've been brainwashed for a young age, and they think that they've evolved from pond scum, and that's why there's such a high suicide rate. That's why there's such a high drug addiction rate. That's why people have no worth, because they think they evolved from nothing and they're going to die and be nothing. What's the point of life? It's a lie from the devil. God created us with a plan and a purpose, amen? God is an awesome creator. You are loved. You are valued. He knows the number of hairs in your head, which for some of you isn't that much. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He loves you. You are valued by God. He is our creator, amen? Let's hold true to that truth. Verse 8, then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, Babylon is fallen, the great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, anyone who worships the beast or his statue or who accepts his mark on the forehead or hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It's been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. They will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them. Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded with grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. There's a lot of gloom and doom in this chapter right here. It's suddenly interrupted by a word of encouragement by the saints that are going through the tribulation. We find that the Holy Spirit pronounces a spiritual blessing upon those who have patiently demonstrated their faith in Jesus by keeping God's commandments and remaining inseparable from their master, whom they loved even unto death. And I know Pastor Dave taught on that verse last week. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the... Who's got a testimony here? How many believe there's power in our testimony? There's power in the blood of the Lamb, amen? We've got to remain faithful to the end. This eternal blessing says that they rest from their labors and their works follow them. The word labors in Greek refers to the toilsome weariness, strife and pain they would have received while going through the relentless persecution of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The word works refers to their testimony to the godless world, which would have left a deep impression upon their persecutors. The mentioning of works following these saints means that just as they confess Christ before men, so too Christ will confess them before their Father in heaven. And then we go on and talks about Armageddon. Armageddon excited. It's getting close to the end. I've been to the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. I've seen the place that the Apostle John is talking about in this, the Valley of Decision. I've read about it all my life. I've seen the place. I just want to close in just a minute. Chuck Swindoll says this: when reading the book of Revelation, don't focus on yourself. How easy it is to get end times fever and only focus on end times. You can get all wrapped up in the trumpet and the bowls and the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And, you know, it's important to study it and to research, but don't get too caught up in it. He says this: it's often like little children. When a mother or a father points at something, often little children will just look at the finger. And they go, oh, look at that finger. Oh, that's what babies do, don't they? But what is the parent doing? The parent is pointing to something else. When it comes to reading the book of Revelation, don't focus on the end times events. Focus on the one that it's pointing to, amen? If we focus on the book of Revelation in the light of our own interests, our own preferences and our own desires, we'll miss the object of the book of Revelation. It's about the heavenly and earthly existence of the glory of God, amen? So when you look at the book of Revelation, it's great to understand, it's great to read what different scholars, and it's great to unpack this stuff, but don't focus on that stuff, focus on the end of the book. And Jesus wins, amen? Focus on getting the job done. I'll be the first to admit, there's been times I remember watching the Left Behind movie series and reading the books and getting all caught up in it. And, you know, Barry, who's heard of Barry Smith before? Great AOG preacher. He traveled around Australia, preached the gospel. Many people came to Christ. And he'd talk about the mark of the beast and the one world government and the Antichrist. And he'd scare the hell out of people by talking about all these horrible things that are going to happen. And hey, I believe that that's a valid way to preach the book of Revelation. And I'm an evangelist myself, can I just be real honest with you right now? This stuff is going to happen one day. And I believe it is going to happen one day soon. But I'm not going to waste my time just talking about that it's going to happen. I want people to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? And I'm going to take every opportunity I have. The Bible says make the most of every opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. I've actually got a spa ministry, guys. I haven't told you this yet. The Lord's called me to suffer for Him in spas. Well, while we were on holidays up at Clandra the last couple of weeks, every chance I got, I was in that spa, relaxing, you know, refreshing myself, chatting to these people. They came from everywhere. I had a captive audience. I'd chat to them. I'd ask them where they're from. I'd ask them, are they enjoying the holiday? Yeah. What are their plans for Christmas? And then they'd ask me, what are you doing for Christmas? Well, now that you ask. And I'd start sharing with them about what God's doing. I'd share about the King's Table. I'd share about the church. I'd share about Vision Radio. I'd talk about what God's doing in my life. I'd talk about different testimonies of other people that have been saved. And I'd end up praying with people in the middle of the spa. I almost baptized this old guy that I talked to once, but he just wasn't ready at the moment. But how many of you know we've got to make the most of every opportunity, amen? Even in the spa on your holidays. I don't take my pastor's hat off and say, I'm on holidays now, I can't minister to people anymore because I'm on holidays. How many of you know it's your identity when you're a follower of Jesus? How many of you know we're meant to talk the talk and walk the walk 24 hours a day, 365, amen? And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. He wants us to be all in these last days. He wants us to be His bride, getting ready for His return. A spotless bride without blemish. All of us using our spiritual gifts. All of us shining. All of us serving God. And I just want to challenge you guys. Some of you mightn't be here for Christmas next week. You might be on holidays. Some of you might be away for a bit. How are you going to serve God in 2018? How are you going to invest your talents for the kingdom? Every one of you is a 10 at something. Every one of you has gifts and talents. Every one of you is called to serve in the body of Christ. This church will not be healthy, will not function properly unless everyone is doing their job. I remember Isaiah Saunders, one of these great businessmen who used to be in our church years ago. His kids were in the kids' church, and he volunteered for kids' roster. And I was like, wow, Isaiah, you're such a busy dude. I'm just so honored that you're helping out in our kids' roster. And he goes, well, I've got kids in kids' church. I should be on the roster. That's just the way it works. I'm like, I wish everyone got that. You need to be like Isaiah and say, here am I, send me. See what I did there? Yeah. Isaiah the prophet and Isaiah. Anyway. Are you available to do what God's called you to do in these last days? Are you going to be in the army of the Lord in these last days? Or are you going to be found slumbering and sleeping? Living a life of gluttony. Living a life after your own lusts, your own flesh, chasing after money, chasing after all the things of this world. There's a warning in the scripture about the last days. It says, in the last days, many scoffers will come. In the last days, it says, many will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, disobedient to their parents, lovers of money rather than lovers of God. Which camp will you be found in these last days? Will you be part of the triumphal bride of Jesus getting ready for his return? Let's all stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, I just love your word. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you for the revealing of the truths of the book of Revelation. And Lord, we know that there will be this tribulation. We know that there will be these troubles coming on the earth. But Lord Jesus, we don't want to just focus on the troubles. We want to focus on the Savior from our troubles. We want to focus on you in these last days, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, God, that you'll come and pour out your Spirit on our church today. Lord, that you'll awaken us to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. Forgive us, God, for being a worldly people. Forgive us, God, for being half-hearted and lukewarm. Wake us up, Lord God, to be the true bride that you're preparing for these last days. Lord, may we come alive. Father God, I just pray if there's anyone here today that needs to give their life to you, that needs to be born again, that today you'll speak to them, that they'll be saved. You know, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you'll be saved. The Bible says that all those that call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. If today you'd like to give your life to Christ, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to go high and say, yep, I want to give my life to Jesus. Good on you, that's awesome. One, two, who else? Three, four, who else? Five, six. Who else wants to give their life to Jesus today? Just put your hand up high if that's you. If you want to say, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus, put your hand up high. Come on. Is today your turn? Well, come out the front. If you want to come to Jesus today, come out the front. All you guys that put your hands up, come out the front. We'll pray for you today. Can I have Pastor Dave and some of the team to come? Let's all stretch out our hands and pray for these brothers and sisters that are here today. Father God, we just pray. Come out here, brother. Come over here. Father God, we just thank you for these brothers and sisters that are making this commitment to follow you today. We pray, Lord, that you come and fill them with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll just touch them with your power today. Lord, that they'll have an encounter with you. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my wicked ways and I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. Guys, I want to introduce you to Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave's going to give you some Bibles and some information about following Jesus. So maybe come and have a seat over here on the front row and Pastor Dave can get over there. Then you have a seat over there.